Welcome to Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. We've got a wonderful show tonight on spirit animals and energy with Melissa Alvarez. So sit back, relax, take some notes, and enjoy. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through the blocks that and release the energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release all that BS that you're holding back, but the real question is, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system, so raise that vibration a little bit. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners. Intuitive since birth, I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I am the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, the Men and Money book, and Masterful Choices, the Key to Easy, Effective Change. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the fullest. My clients say that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, MoniqueChapman.com. I invite you to like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. Sign up for my opt-in newsletter, Intuitive Living, and again, that's on my website, MoniqueChapman.com. Excuse me. Connecting with spirit animals can help us feel more balanced, peaceful, and competent in everything that we do. Spirit animals can be lifelong companions or sent to deliver a single specific message during times of happiness or despair. My guest this evening, Melissa Alvarez, is a best-selling award-winning author who has written 10 books and nearly 500 articles on self-help, spirituality, and wellness. As a professional intuitive coach, energy worker, spiritual advisor, medium, and animal communicator with over 25 years of experience, Melissa has helped thousands of people to bring clarity, joy, and balance into their lives. She has appeared on numerous radio shows, both as a guest and as a host, and she is the author of 365 Ways to Raise Your Frequency, Your Psychic Self, and Animal Frequency. And tonight we're talking about her latest book, and that's Spirit Animals, the Welling Little Book of Spirit Animals. And it's a wonderful, hardbound little book that ladies, you can put in your purse, and men, you can put it in your man purse and take it along with you. And you can find out more about Melissa by visiting her website, and that's MelissaA.com. Melissa, what's your website? I forgot it, and I didn't write it down.
Hi, Monique. Hi. You had it right. It's MelissaA.com. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Oh, it's great to have you on. It's like, I went, oh, my God, what happened?
I couldn't remember. It's okay.
First of all, love the little book. Spirit Animals. Absolutely love it. And you suggested pretty early on in the book that, you know, this is not a book that you have to read from cover to cover. You can just open it up and you can, you know, get your message for today. So I did an opening with message for the radio show, and I did it 3 times, and I got the platypus, the guinea pig, and the unicorn. So I thought the unicorn was
cool.
Very unique. Now, what is the difference between this book and your book, Animal Frequency?
So the Llewellyn's Little Book of Spirit Animals is a super condensed version of Animal Frequency. That gives you basically just the meanings of the animals. Animal Frequency is a humongous book. It's bigger in dimensions, it's thicker, and it's 2 pages per animal. And it gives you more details about, like, you can't get but so much into the space of the little book. But the big book has more information about the animals, the characteristics of the animals, what it means when they show up in your life, and it's more involved, and you get much more information than we could fit in the little book. The little book is it accompanies animal frequency, and you know, a lot of people don't realize that animal frequency is about, you know, totem animals and the way you can connect to those animals. Whereas the title on this one, Spirit Animals, it's a little more mainstream, whereas animal frequency is a process that I do to, and I teach other people to do to connect to their animals.
Okay. Well, I found interesting about this book, it's just not domesticated animals or animals we may be even familiar with. It's also about the mythical animal. Why did you include that?
Well, so, okay, I know, just so everybody understands that I do know these animals are not real, okay? So a lot of people ask me, well, why did you put the, you know, the mythical animals in there? Well, think about it for a second. How many times do you see a dragon? You know, people use dragons in everything. There's stories about dragons. There's dragons in emblems. There's dragons in mythology. There's dragons everywhere. So if you suddenly start seeing, you know, a dragon on TV, and, you know, they stop popping up everywhere or start popping up everywhere, then maybe that animal, even though it's a mythical animal, has a message for you. Same thing with the unicorn. You know, so I include them because they're part of our culture. They're part of, well, actually, world culture, because you have mythical animals in, you know, in China, there's dragons, you know, they're all over the world. So why not include them? Because they could have a message. And so what I tried to do with those animals is I connected to the energy and the essence of that creature and tried to intuit what the meaning would be if it shows up. You know, like, for example, dragons tend to hoard gold. So hoarding, okay, are you hoarding things? You know, is that something you need to let go of? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
that's why I included them, because I feel like, you know, enough people think about them or have them occur in their life that, you know, they could have messages just as much as a real animal.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you know, speaking of dragon, you know, for each animal, folks, that she talks about, she also talks about the element of the animal and their primary color. So for a dragon, the element is air, earth, and water. And then the primary colors are a spectrum of black, blue, green, gold, orange, red, white, yellow. It's almost like the rainbow.
And the rainbow.
Yeah. In the book, you talk about the animal symbolizing strength and good luck and financial growth. And maybe that's why we see it around the Chinese New Year, where the animal is parading through the street, because they have a very strong belief in the dragon and the luck that the dragon brings.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. When you open the book, and I still want to stick with dragon for a second, and you see the dragon, and you said the dragon's hoarding the gold, so you might be hoarding something. What other messages, maybe just for that particular day, that you could take away from the dragon's energy?
Well, it also means prosperity, too, because gold equals money equals prosperity. So it means to look for things that may occur that may be like opportunities, new opportunities where you could earn money or increase your financial wealth, and to be more aware of that and pay attention to it so that you don't miss it if it shows up. It also means to be open-minded about metaphysical topics, because, you know, a dragon isn't real. But if you're a dragon keeps showing up, and then you run into somebody that starts talking to you about past lives, and you don't really believe in past lives, well, dragon's telling you, keep an open mind, because you never know what might connect you, why you're being told this information, and why it's being presented to you now. And, you know, you very well may end up having a past life remembrance from the encounter with the person telling you about it. And dragon's just saying, be aware of metaphysical topics and be open to them. Don't be closed-minded.
Okay, cool. Now, you've worked for many, many years with energy and frequency. What drew you to specifically write about the energy of the animal? And maybe you want to talk about the energy that animals emit first or second.
Okay, so the reason I wrote about animals is because I've been drawn to animals, and they've been drawn to me since I was a little, I probably was barely able to walk, you know, and they've just always been a part of my life. And well, I connect to them and I communicate with them through a process that I call animal frequency, which is really taking a typical animal communication level to the arena of the divine. And because I write about frequency and I do this, you know, I just do this, you know, so I thought, well, you know, I'm writing about how to raise your frequency. So why not write about how I use frequency in animal communication with animal frequency? Uh-huh. So that's why I decided to write about it. And the energy of animals, they can help you in so many different ways. They can help you make decisions. I know if I'm stressed, I head to my barn and I go in, I groom a horse or just lay across a horse and just, you know, relax and just connect uh-huh. with their energy. And it's very revitalizing to me, and it calms me, it soothes me, and it gives me motivation to pick up and go where I got to go. So to me, it's always been a part of my life, and I just wanted to share that with other people in the hopes that, you know, I know some people aren't animal lovers, and that's totally fine. That doesn't mean you can't connect to their energy. You don't have to go and pet them and get all dirty and stuff, but you can still connect to their energy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I love to pick them and get all dirty and smell like momentarily and then shower, because if
you know, right.
I've got this wonderful, fluffy little dog, Miss Sadie, and, you know, she needs to be bathed on a weekly basis, or she gets kind of yucky, and of course she runs mm-hmm. every time you say bathy, but when you pick her up and she's dirty, and you just hold her, and you get that raw, guttural smell, if you will, transports you to a different place, and not necessarily a bad place, but to me a place of almost like being down in the center of the earth where all kinds of energies intermix, what we consider maybe wonderful smells and not wonderful smells. And I just, I be with that for a moment, and then I just put my hand over her heart and telepathically tell her I love her, and then she's ready for the bathy, you know? So it's amazing.
That's awesome.
It's amazing how we connect with them. Now, is a spirit animal, and we talked a little bit about this when we first started, is a spirit animal completely different from the totem animal?
No, it's same. It's the same name for the same. Like, shamans will say totem animal. Wiccans will say they're familiars. I tend to call them energy animals because I work with frequency and energy, and that's the way I think of them, as in energy. But spirit animals is just another word. It all means the same thing. And it's an animal who appears to you. Now, to me, there's two types of spirit animals or energy animals. They're the ones that are with you your whole lifetime. For example, for me, it's a horse. I've always had a deep connection to horses. And even when I didn't own a horse, I always was drawn to anything horsey, you know, if it looked like a horse, or, you know, I have a huge collection of little tiny briar horses that I've just accumulated over the years. So for me, it's always been the horse as a lifetime spirit animal. Now, there are other ones that come along that are, they come to deliver a message and then they leave. So when I was riding animal frequency, I own a farm and we breed horses. And I'd be outside working, and all these animals started showing up that I normally didn't see around the barn. And it was very cool because I was able to connect with them, and because I knew why they were coming. They were coming because I was writing the book. And I had an alligator show up in the canal in the back, and I tried my best. I'm like, you have to go. I'm like, you got to leave. I have two miniature horses that are only like, one's 29 inches tall and the other one's 30 inches tall. And I'm like, you don't get to eat my minis. You have to go, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, they're adorable. So it took me a little bit to finally got the gator to leave. I ended up having to call people and they came and tried to catch him. And so they weren't able to catch him. And when they left, I just sat near the canal and I just tried to connect with him through animal frequency. And I'm like, look, you really have to go. I said, it's not that I don't like you being here, but I'm just worried about my other animals, and I know you just might get hungry, you know?
Right.
And then after that day, after me bringing the other people in and having that really long conversation with him, after that day, I never saw him again. He left. So So I know the only reason he was around was to give me the information he wanted included in the book, you know.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But I would see hawks and snakes, and it was one black snake that showed up, and it would just lay on the concrete behind the house. And I would walk out, I'd head to the barn, and I would just, you know, reach down and rub across its back every day. And the snake was totally fine with that. And then my husband saw me do it one day. He's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm just saying hi, you know.
Our pet snake.
So, right, I named her Emmy. So.
Well, it's wonderful that you're able to connect to all types of animals, because I'm not, but I love them, but I just can't connect.
Now, I'm not really afraid of any of them, because I try to see them, you know, in spirit. I try to connect to them, you know, through the energy. So I was going to tell you about how to do an animal frequency session. So with animal communication, you are basically, okay, so I'll use my horses as an example, since they're looking at me right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I'm training them, I will send them pictures of what I'm asking them to do. And then I send pictures and I send words that it makes it easier for them to understand. So that when they're doing what I want them to do, then I will send them, you know, praise and everything telepathically. They understand things easier if you send a picture to them. And then when you're doing an animal frequency session, you're going beyond that, though. You're projecting your own frequency, your own personal vibration. It feels like you're pulling your energy from the center part of your being, and then you're projecting it out from your heart towards the animal. But I always stop about halfway. You know, if it's an animal that's not in front of you, then you just kind of judge what you think is kind of halfway mm-hmm. point. And mm-hmm. then you request that animal sends their energy back to you. You say, if you would like to connect with me, I'm here and I would like to connect with you to learn more about you and the messages you're trying to send to me. So then if the animal chooses to connect with you, you'll feel their energy come towards you. And then when your energy and their energy merges, that's what I call animal frequency. And it's that merging point is where it goes into the divine. And it's just like you hear psychics talk about, they just know things. Mm-hmm. It's like an instant knowing between you and that animal. It's just like you just know each other all of a sudden. And it's very spiritual in nature, and it's very uplifting, and you will receive the messages that the animal wants you to have, and it's like almost instantaneous. You just know what the message is. And then when the session is almost over, you know, when you feel like the session is finished, I always, you know, wait until the animal pulls its energy back, and it'll go first, and then you pull your energy back, and then you always thank the animal for sharing that part of their being with you.
Uh-huh. Okay. Is this energy something similar to when someone goes to a rescue and to get an animal, that the animal will basically send out a frequency or vibration to that particular person?
Yeah, when you walk into a place like that and you feel instantly drawn to a mm-hmm. particular animal, I think they do that, yeah. I think that they recognize you at a soul level, that you're supposed to be the person that they're supposed to be with now. And they reach mm-hmm. out to you in that way. And if you're open to receiving their energy, then you'll just know. I mean, you just walk in and you're just like, oh, I'm supposed to have this animal. You just automatically know.
Yeah, a lot of people seem to know that. You know, once, I'm afraid of birds, okay? If it's like, well, I'm afraid of anything with wings except an airplane, okay? So I was
okay.
in my backyard several years ago, and I was tending to the bushes, and all of a sudden this little itty-bitty black bird came, and it was flying right at eye level. It was about 3 feet from me, and it was looking uh-huh. straight at me, and I turned to look at it, and I'm in, like, abject horror, okay? But I looked at the bird, and it was like it was trying to tell me something, but my fear was so great I couldn't hear what it had to say. So how do animals, I missed that message, so how do animals communicate with us like that? I mean, how do they get us to understand?
Well, they keep appearing, and they keep appearing until one day it just clicks in your mind. Like the other day, I saw a hawk three times here on my property, And it took the three times before I ever got the message was just to let something go and to fly higher, take the higher road, don't take a low road with the situation that I was in. And mm-hmm. there was one time when I was out here working, and we have a lot of dragonflies around here, but they never, like, really bother you or anything. And mm-hmm. I had dragonflies sitting on me left and right. And I was just like, what is with the dragonflies today? And I wasn't thinking about animal frequency. I wasn't thinking about connecting with them. I was just trying to get my work done, you know, because I was in a hurry. Well, then I had to go get my kid at school, and I'm sitting at the stoplight, and then I felt, you know, how you feel somebody just staring at you? And I felt somebody staring at me, and so I turned to look at the car. I'm like, little, you know, I kind of had a little attitude, like, what are you staring at me for? And when I turned around to see the person in the car, they weren't even looking my way, but there was an itsy-bitsy, it couldn't have been more than an inch long, little dragonfly sitting on my window staring at me.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was just like, so immediately my irritation was gone. I'm like, hi, little guy, you know, what's up, you know? And so I really tried to connect with him, and then I received the message, and the message for the day was I needed to relax. I needed to, you know, fly lighter and to be more like in the air, more not so like grounded and you know, I needed to just let things go a little bit, you know. But it took, you know, dragonfly after dragonfly after dragonfly to get through to me that day. So it's just a process of, okay, when you're trying to connect, of not trying too hard, and when you start seeing them, to recognize if you see more than one, you know, within a short amount of time, then start to think, okay, does this maybe have a message for me? And what you just said a minute ago about that bird was staring right at you, when it's a totem animal or a spirit animal, energy animal, and they have a message, they will stare you down. And it's just, they will stare you down, and it's just like you get this feeling like, okay, like I got to look over my shoulder, what's going on here? And you'll nine times out of ten find, you know, an animal that's just right there looking at you. So what I've started doing when I'm outside is I'll just stop, and I'll just stop, turn, face them, like, okay, what's the message? Because I know you have one because you're staring me down. So, and then I just wait and try to, you know, connect with them and receive the message.
Well, after I calmed down, and I ran in the house and locked all the doors. Now, again, this is a bird.
Okay, wait. So back up. Why are you so scared of birds?
I have no idea. In this incarnation, I am terribly afraid of birds. I'm talking pigeon on the street. I'm walking down the street. I will stop and let the pigeon go, or I'm running the opposite direction to get away from the bird. I have no idea why. My grandma came to live with us for a short period of time before she passed, and she had a bird. I don't know what the heck it was. It was blue and yellow, I think. I don't remember. I don't even remember its name. That's how much I don't like birds. So they put the bird cage. We had a large kitchen way back then. So they put the bird cage in the corner of the kitchen, and Grandma opened the door to the bird cage, and I didn't know that. So mother and grandmother are cooking, and I'm watching because I'm trying to learn. And all of a sudden, the bird came out, and it was flying around. And the bird got excited because I got excited, and the bird's pooping, and I'm pooping, and it was not pretty. It just wasn't pretty. I don't know. And my grandmother's like, well, if she would have said WTF back then, and that's in her face, you know. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I have no idea. And then once I was dating this guy in L.A. long time ago, and this is the kind of guy that would rent a Rolls Royce and a driver, and he'd drive around L.A. drinking champagne in the back seat. So, you know, he was kind of fun. Not so wanted, you know, 24/7, but he was fun. So we had one of those excursions, went back to his house, an apartment, and I'm sitting at the kitchen table, we're talking. I didn't know he had a bird. All of a sudden, this bird flies out from the back someplace. I flew out of the front door and went home. He had to bring me my purse because I didn't even have my purse with me.
Oh, my goodness.
So I don't know what
it is. Well, that's very interesting. Yeah, that would be something that would be cool to get to the bottom of, to figure out why you have this, you know, fear like that. Maybe because they surprise you all the time, or maybe it's connected to a past life. Who knows?
I don't know. It's just really, really weird. Yeah, between birds and fish, it's like, no, thank you, no, thank you, no, thank you.
So, you don't like fish either?
Oh, no, no, don't even eat fish, don't like fish, don't like to look at fish,
okay.
Don't eat them in the grocery market. You know, yes, I'm weird, but, you know, everybody's got their weirdness.
It's totally fine. Now, like I said a while back, not everybody likes animals. I mean, so if you... But the animals can give you messages. So maybe if you tried connecting, you know, with no birds around, but connecting to the energy of a bird to try to find out, why am I so afraid of you? You know, maybe that might work to see if you could find a resolution to your fear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, think about it. Just think about it.
Yes. Folks, we're speaking with Melissa Alvarez, and she's the author of her latest book, which is Llewellyn's Little Book of Spirit Animals. It's available everywhere. It's a great little book, folks. Get it. If you have an affinity to animals at all, it's going to help you by learning what each animal, their energy, what they're presenting to you. And actually, if you don't have an affinity to it, you can learn something. And I'm chuckling because I was just flipping through the book, and I opened the page.
Because it's bird?
Catfish.
Oh! That's funny.
So, folks, that's when it works. Okay, we were just talking about
it.
And I flipped through and opened up to, oh, my goodness. And then the next one that I opened up to was Guppy. So that's nothing. I'm not looking
at it. Okay. So the fish are trying to tell you something.
Yes, they are. But you know what? I will receive at a later date. And, you know, the one that about the bird situation was later on when I did calm down and I reflected on it, I got that the bird was giving me a message from my father, because my father would always go out and do, you know, the yard and the bushes and all of that. And it was my father trying to tell me something, but I haven't picked up on what that was. But you know what? He'll come back again if it's time.
Wow, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah, so you know what? Your dad definitely has messages for you, because he popped up last time in something I said.
Oh, wow, yeah.
That's
cool.
Cool.
Huh. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you know, we get to be with these wonderful little animals, and everything is connected, and I think that's something that you write about in all of your books, the connection of everything.
Yes.
Some people think that animals aren't, you know, sentient beings, that they're just like little nothings and they don't have brains. When you run across...
Well, just,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, just because they can't talk doesn't mean they don't have brains, you know. So, and a lot of people think that they're dumb animals, but, you know, it's like you can tell, you know, they're like people, you know. Like if I look at my barn full of horses, there's some that are super smart and, like, try to get out of everything. They can open gates and everything else. And then I've got, you know, some that are just, like, you know, average, you know. And then I've met horses in the past that you're just like, okay, this is, you know, you need help. Just because they don't think, you know, they're not thinking like typically they should, you know, and those are the ones you give a little extra care to. So, but yeah, I mean, it's just like people. They're all different. They all have different energies, different frequencies, different levels of intelligence, you know.
Okay, so in your book, you talk about visualizations and visualizations for different animals, and we talked about the dragon earlier, and you actually have a visualization with dragons. So could you kind of walk us through that, what that would be like?
Oh, for that particular one
or just any animal? Any animal you want to
pick? Okay. So what I did in Animal Frequency is at the end of every book, I wanted to present an idea of how, or like a creative visualization process of how you could connect to an animal. So in Animal Frequency, every one of the animals has it. In the Little Book of Spirit Animals, not everyone has it. I'm going to go to Dragon so that I can see what I wrote about that one, because they're all of that is very intuitive. So I might not remember it all. Okay, the same. Bigfoot. Okay, dragon. So, for example, this is the one for dragon. Imagine, and I start each one with imagine because I want you to imagine the situation unfolding. You find yourself transported back to medieval times. An enormous dragon is flying above you in slow circles. You can't take your eyes off of the incredible beast. You move out into an open field as the dragon gets lower and lower. It sees you and lands in the field. You feel an affinity for it and walk closer. It regards you with curiosity. You talk to it and reach out to touch its nose. You can hear it speaking in your mind. It has been looking for you to take you back to your own time. You climb on its back and you fly home. So it's just a brief little situation that you can imagine where you can connect to the energy of the dragon in this case. You can start off doing any of the imagines that are in either one of these books. And if you're imagining takes you in a totally different, like if you stop reading and then you're imagining something else happen, then that's the energy of the animal connecting to you personally and your personal vibration. So go with that. These are just guides, you know, to try to get you started, to try to feel the energy of the animal is what I was trying to accomplish with the visualizations.
Okay, cool. Now, a question for you. You have a lot of tips in the book, and one of the tips is how animals, how spirit animals can appear. So are we to take away from that that just outside of physically seeing the animal, you could see the animal in a dream or a daydream or have a vision of the animal?
Yes, and you can also see them on television, on a billboard, on the side of a truck. I mean, they can appear. You'll just notice, you'll know, or they, like I'm looking out the window and there's clouds out there. They could be like in the shape of a cloud, you know, a cloud shape of the animal. So they can appear in any way, you know, it's not just, you know, you see a bird right in front of you, you see a horse in front of you or whatever. It just, you know that they're trying to get you a message because they start popping up everywhere. It's like you say you've never seen an iguana. Forever. You never see iguanas. And all of a sudden, there's an iguana on TV, and you pick up a magazine, and there's an iguana looking at you. And then, you know, you go outside, and what the heck? There's an iguana that's not supposed to be there. You know what I mean? So, you know, they will start appearing when they have a message. And when you recognize, oh, wow, look, I've been seeing an iguana for a week now. What's up with that? Then you can say, all right, now what are you trying to tell me? Because first, they will get your attention. They try and try and try to get your attention. Once they have your attention, then they're going to try to get the message to you. Once you are aware of them, then you're able to receive the message. And then once you receive the message, they normally move on unless they're a lifetime spirit animal for you.
Okay. Now, in your book, you also include insects. Didn't even think initially. I mean, I understand it's an animal of some form, but you know, I'm thinking elephants and giraffes and that type.
Right, you're thinking mammals.
Yeah, there you go. I wasn't thinking insects. So why, you know? And I opened the page to fly. I mean, when I see flies, I honestly try to shoo as many of them out of the house. But you know, if I get a belligerent one and he's on the, or she is on the attack, they don't. I make them transition. So So what can the insect world in general offer to us? Because sometimes we don't notice, or if we do notice, we're trying to get rid of them. If you have an ant infestation, you're trying to kill the ants to get them out of your house.
Right.
Most people don't want flies around. They say if there's a lot of wasps around, that you've got a negative ley line going on. So what can the insects teach us that, because we don't pay attention to them, we just want to discuss
them. So let's look at the ones you just mentioned. So flies, think about your situation. Are you in a situation where you're letting every single little tiny thing annoy you? Because if you are, that fly's there to tell you, don't do that. Don't let it go. Because a fly can be very annoying, you know, all around your head, you know, and and they do that. They just get right in your face, you know. But I'm like you. I'll be like, go to the door. You're going outside, you know. I mean, I try not to kill them, but it's, you know, sometimes you have to, but, you know, so that's what a fly could be trying to tell you, is don't let the little things annoy you and, you know, to rise above that and to move past it so that you're not, you know, stuck in a negative energy with that. Ants, ants, well, they're there to tell you, ants are workers, man. They work together. They work hard. They work, you know, in tandem. You know, you'll see them in a line, you know, the worker ants are like, you know, ahead, you know, checking things out. And that means to you, maybe you need to work a little harder, or maybe you need to work in with a team, you know, be a better team player. What was the other one you said? I forgot the third one.
Girl, I don't remember.
I forgot what the third one was. The ant and the...
Wasp.
Oh, so a wasp. A wasp can be telling you, watch your words. Don't be, don't have a sting to your words because, you know, wasps sting. You know, wasps are also, like, they gather in little spaces for home. So maybe you need to downsize to a smaller nest than where you are. I mean, it can be a wide variety of messages that they bring to you. And you just really have to look at your situation and how what their energy feels like to you means in that situation.
Okay. That sounds fair. You know, when you were talking about the ants, what I envisioned was that most offices should have an ant farm. You know, you can get them enclosed in glass on display.
Right.
So that people can see teamwork being, you know, in action, so to speak, because in offices, teamwork doesn't happen all of the time. Well, folks, again, we're speaking with Melissa Alvarez. The book is Llewellyn's Little Book of Spirit Animals. You can check her out on her website. That's melissaa.com, so melissaa.com. Melissa, how did you come about with the definitions for the animals and what they mean? How did you come about
it? Yeah, so it involved a lot of research because in the little book of the little book of spirit animals, you don't get the depth of the description of the animal like I give in animal frequency. That's, you know, unfortunately wasn't enough space to do that. But for animal frequency, I did a lot of research to make sure that I knew the habitat of the animal. I knew how the animal lived, you know, what it liked to eat. You know, I wanted a well-rounded knowledge of the animal that I was writing about, first of all. Second of all, when I asked for the messages, that is all intuitive. That is me, you know, sitting back, connecting to the animals, and then just usually with my eyes closed, typing, just, you know, what do you want me to say? What am I trying to get through from you? And then just I typed it up. You know, so that's very intuitive, and it was just animal frequency connections to the animals and what they wanted people to know about them and the kind of messages that they could possibly bring to you. So that's how I wrote the, you know, animal frequency. So it was twofold. You know, I wanted to make sure the research was correct, so I presented the animals correctly. And then I wanted to speak with them so that I could share it with everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What if you initially make a connection with a spirit animal and, you know, you feel like, well, this really doesn't feel right. I don't like this one. Can you trade it out for another?
Okay. So to borrow your terminology, get over it. because they're there for a message, okay? And, you know, like, lizards are around me all the time. My nickname is Lizard because my family had a farm when I was little, and I would sit under the tobacco barns, and I would play with all the lizards. I would catch them and put them in a box and play with them all day, and then let them go at the end of the day. So my dad nicknamed me Lizard because of that. And then to this day, I mean, we're in Florida, so there's a ton of lizards here, and they get in the house. I'm the one to catch them. So that's another one that's kind of been with me all the time. And I forgot where I was going with that. I'm sorry. If I don't like them. So, you know, you might not think that, you know, a lizard would be one that you would like, you know, and it's like an earthworm is not one that you might like, you know, like you don't like the fish or the, you know, the catfish. But what can that animal tell you? You know what I mean? So you have to get past your dislike for the animal. Or another thing that happens too is that, okay, say somebody loves horses, but the horse isn't the animal that has the message and it's not an animal for them, but maybe it's a spider and they don't like spiders. You know, but what is that spider trying to tell you? You know, don't weave a web of deception? Are you telling lies or doing things that you shouldn't be doing? You know, it's you got to look at what you're doing. Even though you love horses, you know, that spider's the one that's got the message. And they vary. So usually the animals that you like tend to be lifetime guides if they're guides for you or spirit animals for you. The ones you don't like have specific messages for the here and now in a situation you're in is what I tend to find. But that doesn't mean that your lifetime totem animal isn't, you know, a spider when you'd prefer that it not be, you know.
Yeah, like that bird. Okay. I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they're like the bird.
I get it. Now, what happens if you have an allergy to a specific animal? Like, I got one kid who's allergic to cats. If he walks into a room where a cat is, I mean, the eyes shut, you know, they swell up. He starts coughing.
Well, if you've got allergy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you stay away from it. You can still, so in that kind of a case, if you felt like a cat had a message for you, but you're highly allergic to the cat, mm-hmm. then don't go near the cat or where the cat has been, but you can ask telepathically and through creative visualization, if I can say it, you can ask that animal to share its energy with you and to deliver the message without the allergies, okay, because mm-hmm. you don't need to be having an allergy attack and end up in the hospital, you know, so you can go about it that way and do, you know, it's just like with the mythical animals, you know, you're not going to have a dragon show up in your dining room, you know, so, you know, and if you did, I'd be very surprised, but, you know, but you're not going to have that happen. So the way that you connect with the mythical animals is simply through energy and creative visualization, and you mm-hmm. can also do that with animals that you have allergies to.
Okay, but would it mean on any level that that's not an animal for you in this lifetime, even to...
No, it can, just because you have allergies, no. I mean, it's just, you have an allergy, so it doesn't mean that you, that animal can't have a message for you. I mean, granted, you don't want to go to the rescue and go to the cat room, you know, because you'll have an allergy attack. You want to avoid that. But it doesn't mean that you have to avoid mm-hmm. the energy as an animal's energy on a spiritual level. So I got tongue-tied, sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I do it all the time. Keeps the show real, folks. Real, real, real. Now, what about the concept of eating animals? Some people say that, you know, if you eat an animal, that that's horrible. Other people say that it's a, you know, it's natural within our process of living, especially, you know, back in the pioneer days. So what's your thoughts on eating animals?
So I think that you have to make that decision for yourself. I don't think there's any right or wrong answer to that because, you know, it just depends on the person and their path in this lifetime. So it really is up to each individual person as to the beliefs on that.
Okay, well, that's fair. We're almost out of time. What message would you like to give to the audience regarding spirit animals and connecting with animals?
I would like for everybody to understand that, you know, animals are part of our earth. You know, they're spiritual beings just as we are. We may not always look to them in that way, but, you know, if you take a moment and try to see beyond just their physical beings to the spiritual being inside, that the connection is real and it's deep. And they can help you when you're having difficulties or in times of trouble if you just ask for their help. And the other part would be to be aware, because sometimes you may not ask for help, but they know you need help. And they'll appear to you to try to give you the messages that will help you through times of crisis. Or even if, like, if you're trying to grow on your own spiritual path and they can help you do that, whatever messages that they can give to you, it's going to help your spiritual growth. So always keep an open mind and, you know, give it a shot.
Okay. I got to ask one more question based on what you said.
Sure.
When you have a domestic animal in your house, whatever it may be, is that animal there part of its reason to provide protection for you? Like, say, if someone's energetically sending you some really nasty energy, that the animal might intervene and take that energy so it doesn't hurt you?
It depends. I think they're with you. Yeah, I can see where some animals will do that, yes. Mm-hmm. So my answer is yes, but my answer is also no, because I think it depends on the specific animal. Some animals are there just to support you and not as much as for protecting against other things from the outside. But they're there to support you and your energy. So that being said, it's important for all of us as intuitive beings to protect ourselves from negative energy and to block negative energy on our own. And that can also include blocking negative energy from our pets. Because, yes, just like we can absorb it, they can absorb it too. So I know with me, when there's something going on, I use white light and I protect all my animals, all my, you know, my barn, my, you know, when that hurricane came through here, I had bubbles of light everywhere. So, you know, that's part of our responsibility is to take care of the animals because, you know, they're not, it's not a wild world anymore. And if we're going to have animals, it's our responsibility to take care of them, not to dump them off at the pound. But if you're going to take on the responsibility of the animal, take on the responsibility for its entire life.
Oh, I agree so much. And also with the disasters that are happening and so many people either leaving the animal behind or, you know, just not really taking care of it. I had told someone that if, you know, I live in California, earthquake country, and if we had the earthquake and my dog couldn't go, I'm not going.
I know.
They're pretty you know, in California for the animal to go with you, but how could you leave the animal behind if you loved it?
Yeah, it's so hard for me. We live in South Florida, and this last year with the hurricanes and everything, I was a wreck during the last two hurricanes because of my animals, because, you know, I had to leave two horses outside, in which everybody's like, oh, you can throw them outside, they're better off out there. But I'm freaking out because I'm like, no, they need to be in the barn, but right now I have two. We breed horses and then sell them to their forever homes. And, you know, I had three babies on the ground. My barn was doubled up. Yeah, it was crazy. And it's very difficult. So, I mean, the way I am about animals, to leave one behind is like, it's hard. It's very hard. I understand, you know, if you've got to choose between your children and your fish, you know, you got to take the kids and go. You know, I understand that. But it's still, you know, if you've got a dog or a cat, I mean, I don't know. I would just be sneaking them on the plane or something. I don't know. Or just, you know, it's hard. That's a really hard question.
Well, that's actually a question that someone should consider when they're adopting an animal.
Yes. If you can't take care of it 100%, don't adopt it. You know, I mean, because that's not fair to you or to the animal. And same thing about giving puppies at the holidays. You know, don't give a puppy as a gift unless you've actually talked to the person you're going to give it to and make sure that that's something that they want and they're going to take care of it, you know. It's just hard otherwise. I mean, now there are situations where you have to give up a dog or, you know, or you have to. But then, you know, if you're in that situation, you know, always try to find it another home. Don't dump it at the pound. Try to find it another long-term home that the animal's going to be loved. You know, even if you give it away. You know, you don't. If you buy an animal, you don't have to sell it. Just make sure that it's getting in a good home.
And
I don't know.
Dump it on the street.
My gosh! Do you know how many strays I've picked up?
Yes. And how could they do that? Just, you know, and I talked to one girl, she was a client, she goes, oh, my dad lost our dog yesterday. And I said, what do you mean he lost the dog? He goes, well, we went to a neighborhood, the dog doesn't know when you put the dog out. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I'm, you know, like, where's the neighborhood?
I would. And that's so hard, you know, but a lot of people do that. And, you know, that's so inhumane. And I know, like, where we live, I mean, I don't know if it's the energy around my property just and because animals are attracted to me. Mm-hmm. I get so many strays that come here, and I always try to find their homes. And, I mean, luckily so far I've been able to find the owners to everybody who's shown up here. You know, I had one little dog show up in the middle of a thunderstorm, and I was standing out in the barn, and I'm just like, oh, my gosh, look at this. And this is a little tiny dog just running around. So I called him up, and he came, and he got scared, and he ran away. So I just used the animal frequency, and I'm like, come back, and I'll take care of you, and I'll get you home. And sure enough, here he comes back, and I found his home and got him home. So, you know, for me, it's like they're so attracted to me for me to have to say, I'm going to put you in the pound. I just don't know. That's just so hard to even consider. But I do know that it has to be done sometimes. I do understand that. And there's no judgment whatsoever if a listener has to do that. I mean, but try not to if you don't have to.
Yeah, try to make it your extreme last resort.
Right, exactly.
You can move forward. Well, folks, we've been speaking with Melissa Alvarez. Her book, Llewellyn's Little Book of Spirit Animals, you can check out her website, melissaa.com, melissaa.com. Melissa, thanks so much for your time tonight. I greatly appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. It's so much fun to talk to you.
Oh, as always. And folks, thank you for being with me tonight as we collectively get over it and learn about spirit animals. I am honored and I do appreciate your time and attention. The divine in me honors the divine in you. And when you're ready to live a more balanced life, give me a call. Intuitive consultations, 30 minutes or longer, are offered at a 10% discount if you mention the podcast. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself and make that call. 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of love. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.